Well, what a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. I think I've said that already, man. It's just a wonderful day, period, isn't it? This is the day. And any day that the Lord makes, we ought to be happy about it, amen. There's an alternative, you know, amen. Days could cease, grace could grace and peace could cease, amen. And we can be somewhere else, amen. Somebody say amen. All of us are going to heaven. Somebody say amen. We're saved, amen. Somebody say amen. Thank God for salvation. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Let me remind you that as soon as the worship experience has ended, we're going to set in place some elders today. Somebody say amen. We have new elders that we've trained. And they're ready to go to work. Somebody say amen. They already know their responsibilities. They have their job descriptions in hand. Somebody say amen. All I got to do is sometimes remind them, this is what you're supposed to be doing, amen, and get the rest of the gang to work along with the gang. Somebody say amen. So we bless God for the new leadership, young leadership. Somebody say young leadership that we're placing in place today or setting in place today, amen. So we invite you, if you can, usher, can you get that door for me? We invite you, if you can, to remain with us after the worship experience so that we together can set them in place. You can be a witness to what has transpired in this place today by way of appointment. Somebody say amen. Come on, let's bless God in advance for them. Amen. Amen. Okay. Okay. One more time. Amen. 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 And then our present elders, we will bring them up as well, and we will give you an overview of their job description. Somebody say amen. So that you can find who you're looking for when you're looking for them. Somebody say amen. Because all of our elders have responsibilities. Amen. Somebody say amen again. Let's just bless God for friendship. Amen. You know, we don't celebrate the anniversary anymore since we transitioned from Friendship Baptist Church to Friendship Christian Church Ministries. But Friendship Christian Church / Baptist Church Ministries is about 115 years plus strong. Somebody say amen. Which means we've been around for a while, amen. And we are determined that we're not going anywhere. Somebody say amen. We will grow and make a mark for God in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. We will be kingdom people, kingdom purpose, kingdom principles, kingdom operating in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. So let's just bless God for who we are, amen. Okay, let's just bless God for who we are. Amen, amen. And if we don't know who we are in him, there's an opportunity for another teaching. Somebody say amen. So that we can get across to all of us who we are in him. Amen. At the first of the year, somebody say at the first of the year, we want to start a new teaching. It's a teaching that you've heard before, but it's the teaching that the Lord has impressed upon me to share. We're going to start the year with teachings on the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of heaven. Somebody say amen. As I encourage you most times, whenever you hear a familiar subject title, don't think that you know what we're going to say. There will be some rehearsing of some of the old teaching that we've shared, but there will also be layers of new teaching upon the old, if you will. Somebody say amen. So we invite your attention. We invite you to be attentive as we teach teachings concerning the kingdom of God. Amen. I turned on Facebook last week and I saw one of my friends that live in Dallas, Texas. He was beginning a teaching called Transitioning from the Church Age to the Kingdom Age. Transitioning from the Church Age to the Kingdom Age. And I thought the title was very, very inviting, if you will. Amen. Even though I didn't listen to the teaching, it's an accurate depiction of what's going on in the kingdom of God. I know you hear a lot of negative stuff going on, and there is a lot of negative stuff going on, and I don't want to even try to tackle any of it. Somebody say amen. As a matter of fact, a lot of times I don't even want to know what's going on. Somebody say amen. I just want to stay in my lane and do what God has called me to do, amen, because there's going to always be something to talk about. As long as there are people, there's always going to be somebody who's offended. Yeah. There's always going to be somebody who likes what you do. Somebody say amen. As long as there are denominations, there are going to be denominational beliefs, and they're going to clash with one another. Somebody say amen. So I just rather stay in my lane and be a Christian church following Christ. Somebody say amen. And not get involved in all of the rigmarole, if I can call it that, that's going on in the body. Somebody say amen. So we're going to teach. Amen. Amen. Teachings on the kingdom of God / kingdom of heaven. Say kingdom of God / kingdom of heaven. I told you that the terms scripturally are synonymous. Somebody say amen. You got one group, the Jewish people, or the Israelitish people, that thought that the name of God was so sacred until when Matthew, which is the writer of the book of Matthew, penned kingdom of heaven, he penned it out of his background teaching, if you will. Somebody say amen. When Luke penned kingdom of God, he didn't have kingdom of God / kingdom of heaven. Somebody say amen. So today we want to start the teachings about defining. We've done it before, but we want to be a little bit more detailed in our defining of the subject. I know that you've read the scripture, and the Bible says, I think it's in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, that the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's joy, righteousness, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. That's what the scripture says, and that's true. But there are some, there are some detailed definitions concerning the kingdom of God. I was going to say stronger, and I would have been in error. Somebody say amen. You don't get stronger than the scripture. Somebody say amen. There are some detailed definitions that we want to use for this teaching that we've used over the years to help us to get a grasp of what the kingdom of God looks like in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. Every definition that I give you from this particular teaching, you can follow it out by reading the gospel. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Now, there's an invisible kingdom that's operating in the earth realm today, the present kingdom, amen. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a little while. And then there is a visible manifestation of the kingdom, futuristic to come, during a millennial reign, amen. God is reigning in the believer. Somebody say reigning in the believer and influencing in the earth realm in the present or during the church age. Somebody say church age. Invisibly. Somebody say amen. You can't see him, but you can see the effects of him working in us. You can't see him, but you can see the effects of him working in the earth realm. Amen. You might not know it, and I'm already off script, so I'll stay off for a few minutes. You might not know it, but God has set you aside in the earth realm as believers in Christ, as children of God, to manifest him to the earth realm. Okay, let me say it to this side. God has set us aside as children of God, as believers in Christ, to manifest him in the earth realm. As we grow up, we're supposed to look like Christ. As we mature spiritually, mature in the things of Christ, our display should be as children of God, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. We're growing in grace and in the knowledge of God, but we also are growing into the image of God as we place the right seed, and it's the word of God, and as the Holy Spirit matures us to the place where we'll present God. Somebody say amen. Somebody say we're being changed from glory to glory. One visible manifestation of God to another visible manifestation until we look like Christ. So we're to be salt. Somebody say salt. And light. Somebody say light. My God and my Lord. But we got to know what salt and light look like before we can present it to the earth realm. Amen. Now, I've been meditating on some things. The Lord talks to me about a whole lot of things, and I'm glad that I have quiet time with him so that we can share some of the things with you that he shares with us. One of the things we have to do as Christians is to get our emotions intact. Now, emotions are not bad. But as it relates to following Christ, see, following Christ, sometimes our emotions get out of whack. The emotions get out of the way that Christ desires us to display him, amen. Okay, let me help you. That's why Jesus said that if we want to follow him, we have to deny self. Somebody say self. One part of self is ego. That which you want to do that's contrary, that which I want to do that's contrary to Jesus. She's looking at me real strange. Somebody say ego. You know, ego is what you want to do. Sometimes what I want to do and sometimes what I do is contrary to what God desires to do. Sometimes emotionally, say emotionally, we get out of whack with Christ. Sometimes we're displaying emotions when we ought to be displaying Christ. Okay, you know where your emotions take you sometimes. Your emotions take you to anger. Your anger take you to sometimes sin. Okay, y'all going to make it hard for me today, amen. Sometimes when I get angry, I start cussing. I get like Peter. Just for the sake of teaching, I don't cuss too much. I might say hell or something like that. I sat down on something and stuck myself the other day, and I didn't say hallelujah. And then I had to say, Lord, forgive me. Somebody say amen. Sometimes emotions are not exclaimed or displayed in a godly manner. We have to grow to the place where we deny those emotions that are not like Christ. You know, Christ was joyful. Say joyful. Now, he did get a little upset. Am I talking to the right house? He was real compassionate and docile and meek to sinners. But religious folks who was going against the will of God and thought that they knew they were doing the right thing, he would eat those meeses to pieces. Call them hypocrites, vipers, different kind of snakes, glory to God, whitewashed tombs. You want to look fine on the outside, but you all tore up on the inside. He would eat those meeses to pieces. Somebody say amen. But the sinners, you know, he was real meek with them, amen. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They needed to be led. They needed to be taught. But religious leaders or religious people were sometimes so prideful until they would not let Jesus lead them. And sometimes it's like that in the church. Somebody say, amen. I don't know it all. You don't know it all. I'm around the breakfast table with some of my friends on Tuesdays, and they're always amazed how I can shift from being egotistical to humble. Because when you start hitting on something that I need to hear, I'm going to humiliate myself or humble myself so that I can hear what needs to be heard. Somebody say amen. We're going to cover some things during this teaching. One of the things we're going to talk about is us receiving the word with meekness. Not fighting against it. Even though it might be on your toe, my toe, even though it might be truth that you don't want to practice, it's going to be truth the same. Somebody say amen. I'm going to disseminate the truth in love. Somebody say in love. But I got to put it out there. And you might not notice because you don't know everything that I do. Sometimes I'm stepping on my own toe. And if I let myself holler, I could holler ouch. Because I need growth in some areas. Somebody say amen. And it's amazing how sometimes the Lord will use you to say what you need. Somebody say amen. So during this teaching, we're gonna teach truth that sometimes might be a little abrasive to some of us, but it's gonna be truth the same. Somebody say amen. So we ask that you check your egos outside the door, your feelings outside the door. Me too. Come on in. Let's receive the word. Somebody say amen. Now I'm not saying that some of us are religious, but some of us might be. And there might be some things that we need to tackle to get us on the same page with Christ, even if we decide not to walk on that page or live out that page. Somebody say amen. Truth still needs to be taught. Somebody say amen. Somebody bless God for being God. Amen. Somebody bless God for his word. Somebody bless God for the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, amen. So today's lesson is supposed to be the foundational teaching or the foundational lesson to all the other lessons that we'll teach on the kingdom during this series. Somebody say amen. But my time is far spent. I might not get it all done. Somebody say amen. Let's start by defining the kingdom of God. That's what I said a few minutes ago. Number one, if you're listening, the kingdom of God is defined, or the kingdom of God slash kingdom of heaven is defined by way of definition as God's sovereign rule. Say God's sovereign rule in or over something or someone. Number one, God's sovereign rule in or over something or someone. The term sovereign simply means a person who has supreme power or authority. You might see a person that has supreme power or authority. Somebody say supreme. There's no power higher than the power of God. Somebody say amen. Somebody say he's sovereign. But for as it relates to the believer, it takes us submitting to his sovereignty in order for him to be sovereign in our lives. You know, we've sung over the years that God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. That's true and not true. If he could do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it in the lives of believers, we'd be doing everything that he wants us to do. He's still sovereign. But we have to allow him to lord. Somebody say lord. Somebody say lord in our lives. Two places in the earth are in. There's the kingdom of Satan. Say kingdom of Satan. We've been brought out of that kingdom. And then there's the kingdom of God. Say kingdom of God, or the kingdom of his son, Jesus Christ. We're in that kingdom. Somebody say amen. Even though we're under that reign, under that rule, we don't always follow the leadings of the king. And even when we mature, say mature, even when we mature spiritually, from a knowledge perspective, if you will, we don't always follow the leadings or what the king has taught us to do. He's sovereign, but he's not sovereign in our lives unless we allow him to be sovereign. What does sovereign look like? Us following the leading of the Holy Spirit, us doing what we know to do according to the word, when we submit to the word's teaching, when we submit to the Holy Spirit's leading, he becomes sovereign. And as we practice submitting, he becomes more sovereign in our lives, amen. But the will is involved. Have y'all ever read the book of Genesis chapter 3? God gave instructions, say instructions. He told Adam not to eat of the tree of the fruit, or the fruit of the tree. I always have to slow down because I'll get tongue-tied here. The fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He set the tree in the midst of them. He gave them free will. He told them what not to do. But because they had free will, he was still sovereign back there too. Somebody say amen. Because they had free will, they allowed the enemy to trick them into eating. Somebody say eating. And they submitted to his will opposed to submitting to God's will, thereby diminishing his sovereignty in their lives. So God is sovereign. Say sovereign. But we have to allow him to be sovereign. Somebody say amen. So definition number one, I hope you got that. Definition number one, the kingdom of God. Say the kingdom of God is the sovereign rule of God in and over something or someone. Somebody say in or over something or someone. Let me give you some examples of God being sovereign over. And then I'm going to give you some examples of God, or at least one example of God being sovereign in, so that you can really get this definition. Somebody say amen. Matthew chapter 12. Y'all all right? Speaking of Matthew, when Matthew came in the door, I saw his daughter just jump up and down because her daddy was here. That's awesome, isn't it? To love your parents so much until when you see them coming, you jump up and down because you know what you got as a parent. I remember in my foolish days, my dad-in-law told me, he said right there, he said, when children see the daddy coming and running the opposite direction, he said, "You got a fool on your hand." And I was in the realm of foolish. So he had to tell me, share with me some wisdom to shock me into getting back on the right side of being a good daddy. Amen. Somebody say amen. My children see me now, they grab me, the ones that don't see me all the time. And I love them. My older two sons, they will kiss me in the top of the head. And I love that. Signifies to me that I might have been a good daddy. Somebody say amen. Can I help you today? Our Heavenly Father is good. We ought to run to him all the time. Somebody say amen. Somebody say we ought to run to him all the time. In everything, we ought to run to him. Somebody say amen. Somebody missed that point. Amen. Amen. The word says that he is good. He is good. Every good and perfect gift come from him. Somebody say amen. I want to run to my good Heavenly Father. Amen. And I also want to run to him in a way where I can please him. Somebody say amen. That was free right there. Somebody say amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 12. We just want to see pictures. Take pictures. Verses 28 through 29. Pictures of God being sovereign over something. Somebody say sovereign. Over something. In this case, we're going to see him being sovereign over, glory to God, a demonic spirit. Listen, when God tells a demonic spirit to move, he can't do nothing but move. When God tells a demonic spirit to come out, guess what? He can't do nothing but come out because God has sovereignty over him. God is sovereign over the spirit realm. Somebody say amen. Whatever operates in the spirit realm or by way of spirit, somebody say amen, they're going to do whatever God tells them to do. You read through the gospel, you'll see sometimes the spirit's pleading with Jesus. Now, did you come to torment us before the time? Don't cast us out now. Because they understood that whatever Jesus said for them to do, they had to do it. They recognized him as God in the flesh. Somebody say amen. Sovereignty over the spirit realm is what God has. Somebody say amen. Even demonic spirits. Somebody say amen. So when I say sovereignty over, somebody say over. He has sovereignty or he's sovereign over demonic spirits. Somebody say amen. Now, I might try to cast one out and it might not come out. Even though I'm empowered to do so. Now, I want to show you some things in Scripture. You know, the disciples, the learners, they had authority from God to cast out demons. There's at least one time when they tried to cast one out, they couldn't cast them out. Can I help you today? And we might look at that during our Bible study teachings. One of the reasons why they couldn't cast them out because the environment was bad. There was a whole bunch of unbelieving folks around them. Sometimes if the environment is not conducive to God doing what he wants to do through a person, it might not happen. Okay. You remember when Jesus had to go to Jairus' house to heal his daughter? They were in there just weeping and wailing. They didn't have the faith that Jairus had because Jesus told him only believe. You know, he had gotten the message, look, your daughter's dead. Trouble not the master any longer. Jesus told him, look, only believe. Jesus got to Jairus' house. They were cutting up, man. They were just weaving in the well. And Jesus said, put them all, get out. All of y'all get out. Why? Because the environment was not conducive to him healing the little girl. He only took the ones on the inside or inside with him that had the faith for him to deliver. Somebody say amen. The girl got up. Say the girl got up. Because Jesus settled the environment. Am I talking to the right house? Yeah. So I might not be able to cast out, even though I'm empowered to do so. You are too. These signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall lay hands on the sick. Sick shall recover. That's what Jesus said. Mark chapter 16. Somebody say amen. But every now and then I might not get it done. And I want to, glory to God, I want to suggest to you that sometime it might be the surroundings. That's why we ought to always want to create an atmosphere in the house where the presence of the Lord can move and do whatever he wants to do. That's why when the worship team asks us to get up and worship, we ought to get up and worship. When they ask us to get up and celebrate with them as they celebrate the Lord, they already tell us from the onset of the worship experience that God inhabits the praises of his people. Somebody say amen. Every now and then you ought to want to stand in reverence to the Lord and give praise and honor, glory to God, as we are admonished to do so, amen, because we want to be on one accord. Somebody say one accord. Is that a rebuke, Pastor? No, I don't know where that came from other than the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So we see sovereign authority right here over the demonic spirit. Somebody say amen. Jesus says, but if, you know, they were accusing Jesus of casting out demons by the chief demon, Beelzebub. Somebody say amen. Jesus says, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, guess what happened? Surely what? What has come upon them? Somebody say the kingdom of God. The sovereign rule or the supreme power of God has come upon that demon. And that demon can't do nothing but leave. Am I talking to the right house? Let's read one more verse. Oh, yeah, I hear you, Lord. Sometimes the presence of the Lord can show up in the house. I ain't got to try to cast out nothing. The presence will run it out. That's why we ought to always have the presence. Somebody say amen. In the house. Somebody say in the house. Okay, I'll move on. Jesus said, or how can one enter into a strong man's house? Say strong man's house. Strong man, he's referencing there is Satan. He said, I can go in his house and tear some stuff up because I'm the stronger one. Say stronger one. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and do what? Plunder his goods. What would be one of Satan's goods? One of Satan's goods would be a demon. Okay, Satan demons are working in the earth realm in accord with Satan to wreck some lives. Something to hold on to. Say hold on to. And as it relates to the believer, to influence us to go in Satan's directions by way of allowing him to kill, steal, and destroy life in our lives. Y'all real quiet this morning. Maybe you're thinking. Somebody said thinking. He says, or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first what? Somebody said binds the strong man. Somebody said binds the strong man. Which implies that the binder is stronger than the one who's being bound. And then he does what? Yeah, he messes up his house. He drives the demon out. Somebody say amen. So we see God's sovereign rule here where? Over demonic spirit. Y'all all right? Y'all following? Let's look at another passage. Mark chapter 4, verses 36 through 39. Now, God, somebody say God, has sovereign rule over the elements. Yeah. Whatever God tells the winds and the waves to do, they got to do it. I don't care if Satan stirs up the wind and the waves. I told somebody not long ago, we give God credit for stuff that he might not have nothing to do with. Because sometimes Satan can stir up the wind and the waves. If you don't believe me, go back and read the book of Job. Satan can stir up some stuff, but God has power over Satan and whatever he stirs up. God can shut up whatever he stirs up. I'm talking to the right house, but I don't know if you're listening, amen. God can shut up whatever Satan stirs up. If Satan stirs up some things in your life and you're not strong enough to make him go, you can pray and God can make him move. But you got to have the state of mind to pray and ask the Lord to make him move. The scripture says that the devil desired to sift Peter as wheat. Jesus said, I've interceded for you, boy. I prayed that your faith fail not. So it was his faith that was going to keep him from failing, amen. Every now and then you need to ask God, God, give me the faith and not give in to this mess that's going on in my life. Somebody say amen. Because he can pray for our faith to mount up as it needs to mount up to keep demonic, depressing, et cetera, from destroying our lives. I'm talking to the right house, but I don't know if you're listening. Amen. Okay. Somebody say the kingdom of God has power, or God's sovereign rule has power over the elements. Y'all got it? Now let's prove it. Now when they had left the multitude, Jesus and his disciples, they took him along, say along, in the boat as he was, however he was at that point. Somebody say amen. And other little boats were what? Verse number 37. And a great what? And what else happened? So that it was what? So the waves had come over into the boat. And you know what happened when water fills a boat? What happened? It sinks. Somebody say amen. Verse number 38. But he being Jesus, was where? In the bottom of the boat, asleep. Asleep on what? If Jesus can use a pillow, I can too. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are about? The King James Bible came back up in my mind. Somebody say amen. Do you not care that we are perishing? Verse number 39. Jesus didn't say nothing to them. Jesus says, I guess to himself, let me handle this. Then he arose. Somebody say he arose and rebuked the wind, which simply means he confronted the wind, or he showed disapproval of the wind being there. Somebody say amen. Then he arose and stop doing what you're doing. If I can add, you frightening my people. Somebody say amen. Stop doing what you're doing. Hush right now. Somebody say amen. And guess what happened? The wind ceased, and that was a great calm. Not just a calm, but a great calm. So we see God's sovereign rule over what? Somebody say the element. Somebody say violent winds. Violent waves. God can control. Sometimes we need to grow to a point in our faith where we can act like Jesus and do the same thing that he did. But that's for another teaching. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Let's look at another passage. Y'all all right? Are y'all seeing the kingdom of God or the sovereign rule of God over different things? Somebody say amen. Is this helping anybody? Luke chapter 10, verse number 9. Y'all all right? Amen. I don't know how to say this other than just to say it. Somebody say amen. We see the sovereign rule of God or the kingdom of God over sickness. Somebody say sickness. What the doctors can't do, God can. What the doctors can't do, God can. But you got to also remember that doctors can't do something. Jesus said, I love this. Jesus said the things that are impossible with men are possible with me. You know, when your doctor gets to the place that he can't heal whatever's going on with you, you need to understand that God has the power to do so. Yeah, he is a witness. Somebody say amen. God can exert his power over sickness and disease. And guess what? Healing will ensue. Now, let me help you. You need to stay tuned or tune in to our teachings for Bible study beginning Wednesday. We're going to talk about faith again. And there are some things that are going to come out about faith that you and I probably need to learn in order to have a sustaining faith. And I'll tell you what all that's about on Wednesday night. Somebody say amen. I'll just throw this out at you real quickly. A sustaining faith is a faith that can sustain until such time as the promise is manifested. See, a sustaining faith don't let no circumstances, don't let no people, don't let no unbelief, don't let no situations stop it from being faith. Okay, that's deeper than you hear. And we're going to talk about that during Bible study. So you want to tune in. Somebody said tune in. Because you want to learn how to keep your faith until your promise comes. Can I throw something out to you all? One thing that Abraham knew how to do was confess what God said to him. You do know that Abraham was Abram before he became Abraham. When God changed his name to Abraham, you never heard him say his name was Abram again. Because what he was doing was confessing what God said about him, even though there was no manifestation of what he was confessing. Somebody say amen. I'm Abraham. No nation, no heir, no nothing following. But I'm Abraham for at least 25 years before the heir was born. He confessed what God said about him. He confessed until the promise came. He even confessed beyond the promise. Am I talking to the right house? You want to learn how to sustain your faith until the promise comes. So you want to tune in. Somebody say tune in. Somebody say the kingdom of God, God's sovereign rule, has power over 70 others out. Because there was so much work, there had to be more people to handle the work. Somebody say amen. He gave them some instructions. Say instructions. He empowered them to do what he sent them out to do. Somebody say amen. And this is one of the things he said. And do what? Somebody say heal the sick. After you heal the sick, I want you to say something to them. He says, and say to them what? You missed it. He says, after you heal them, say to them that the kingdom of God, the sovereign rule of God, has come near to you or is in your presence. Denoting that the kingdom of God has power over sickness. Now, lest I digress too far, I'm a recipient of the healing of God. A long, long time ago, tell it like a story almost, man, I was in bed, couldn't get up, couldn't do nothing. See, I got a witness right there because they know my journey. Somebody say, man, rheumatoid arthritis had me all crippled up. Couldn't move. People come to see me and they just cry because I was in such a decrepit condition. But the prayers of the saint and me praying along with them. Do you see any signs of rheumatoid arthritis? The Lord healed me. And when the Lord healed me, he told me he had healed me. And I'm not telling you to do this. He told me the meds that I was taking because one time I petitioned him, Lord, if this disease don't kill me, these meds gonna kill me. He said, you are healed. Don't take any more of the meds. And those particular meds at that time, I stopped taking because I believed God. He exercised his sovereign rule over the sickness or the disease that was in my body. Now, some of y'all are looking like you don't believe. But those of you all who know my journey do believe. See, sometimes we need some contemporary examples. I know we read it in the scripture, but sometimes we need some contemporary examples. Amen. Somebody say amen. Now, listen, the doctors couldn't heal rheumatoid. But God could, amen. Now, the doctors could give me a new knee. So I didn't have to count on God. I got his wisdom. I didn't have to count on God to do it because the doctors could. But what the doctors couldn't do, I went to God and God did it. Y'all missing me today. So Christians, children of God, you ain't got to sit back and just take anything the devil throw your way, amen. Because we have a power that's greater than him. The Bible said, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. I'm talking to the right house, but I just don't know if you're listening. You think I'm going to sit around being depressed when God is my father? You think I'm going to sit around being in lack when God is my father? You think I'm going to sit around taking sickness in the geese when God is my father? Do you know who God is? Do you know what God, the power that God possesses? I'm trying to teach you. I hope you're listening. I'm going to be like the three Hebrew boys. Even if he don't do it, I know he can. Somebody say amen. Even if he don't bring me out of the fire, I know that he can. Amen. And when I get to heaven, I say, Lord, I don't know why you didn't, but thank you that I know you can. But I'm here with you. Amen. We got to elevate in our thinking to know that God can before God will. Amen. In our own personal lives. I'm teaching, preaching. Now I'm shift from teaching to preaching, even if you're not listening. Now, during this series, the Lord lead me in another direction. During this series, I'm going to talk about the different mindsets that we preach to. Some of y'all too stubborn to receive what the Lord says. Because you got your mind made up about other things. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. Somebody say amen. I'm just giving you a preview to a coming attraction. Somebody say amen. So we see God's sovereign rule over. Somebody say amen. Over sickness. And lastly, let me show you God's sovereign rule within. Somebody say within. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Y'all all right? Y'all getting this today? I'm sweating. Which means y'all working me hard today. Somebody say amen. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees, the religious leaders, when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God what? Now, let me throw in a statement for clarity. The kingdom of God in the church age does not come with observation. But during the millennial reign, the kingdom of God will be seen. Now, you read the rest of this chapter, you'll see when all that's going to transpire. It won't start happening until after Jesus comes back the second time. Somebody say amen. Amen. So until he comes back the second time, we're in the invisible reign. He's reigning on the inside of us by way of his word and by way of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. That's only if you submit. Now, I got a teaching in this series concerning the Holy Spirit's influence in our lives. But the first thing, before he can influence our lives, he got to be in there. Yeah. Somebody say in there. And the scripture declares, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit comes when we believe. Somebody say believe. He comes and set up shop when we believe in the Christ. Somebody say amen. But we still got to submit to his leading. We have to submit to his influence. Amen. There's another teaching that you're going to get during this series. Am I talking to the right house? During the church age, say the church age. We're in the church age now. We'll be in the church age until Jesus comes back. During the church age, the kingdom of God, you cannot see. You can see its impact. You can see its effect. But you can't see it. Okay, you can see the change that the word make in your life. You can see the change that the Holy Spirit make in your life. You can see the influence that the Holy Spirit have on you, but you can't see the kingdom itself. You can just see how it impacts you. No, can you see the wind? I said, can you see the wind? But you can sure as well tell where it's blowing. But you can't see it. But that doesn't mean it don't exist. It's because you can't see the kingdom of God doesn't mean that it don't exist. Because you can experience its impact. Am I talking to the right house? Verse number 21. And they spared up my time. He said, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is where? Within. The kingdom of God is where? Within. It's within the believer. It's within the believer. Now, God can influence anybody he wants to influence. But as it relates to rule, say rule, there's submission involved. So the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Is within us. Not just by way of principles, but by way of the Holy Spirit. Let me just start right there. Somebody say amen. So number one, I'm still on number one, the first definition. I've been preaching for almost 45 minutes. I'm still on the first definition. Say first definition. I'm going to give you two more, and that's probably when we'll quit today. Somebody say amen. Number one, the kingdom of God is God's sovereign rule in or over something or someone. And I hope that we presented that case pretty thoroughly. Somebody say amen. Number two, the kingdom of God / kingdom of heaven is God's sphere, say sphere, of influence in heaven, in earth, and in the lives of people. Somebody say sphere of influence. Sphere of influence has to do with the impact or effect that a rule, in this particular case, God has over an environment, if you will, even a person. Somebody say amen. Now, he got absolute influence in heaven. Everything that he says goes up there. Somebody say amen. But when it comes down here, especially to us who call on his name, he knows whether or not we're going to do it. But we don't know whether or not we're going to carry out anything he asks us to do, because our will is involved. That's why Jesus taught us to pray his kingdom come, because it has to be prayed into the earth realm, and we have to submit to his sphere of influence or his rule. Am I talking to the right folks? Number three. Somebody say number three. Okay. The kingdom of God, so that's kingdom of heaven, is the system of God. That is his ways of doing things in heaven and in earth. Somebody say system. Somebody say ways. Somebody say procedures. System. Somebody say system. Organized way of doing things. God has an organized way of doing things. I know we've been all willy-nilly with the preaching and teaching in the church, but my God. I've gotten to the age where if I get too fast, I'll start stuttering. But God has an organized way of doing things for his people. Now, it's unconventional to the world ways, but he has an organized way. Did you read that scripture where it says, seek first the kingdom of God? He was talking to the believers. We're going to look at that a little further. He was saying, since you're under a new system now, you need to inquire about how that system operates. Because it operates separately from the world system that you've been accustomed to operating in. Seek first. I don't have to look for nothing that I already have. I don't have to inquire about anything that I already have knowledge of. But that which I don't have knowledge of, that which I don't understand, I need to try to seek some understanding. And all that getting, get what? So you're part of a new system. Don't operate like the worldly system. You know, the worldly system, I can hate it. I can hate everybody. I can misuse everybody. I can judge everybody, so on and so forth. That's not God's system. Am I talking to the right house? His system is diametrically opposed to the world system. So if I'm going to operate in his system, I got to learn his system. Anybody got Windows? Anybody have DOS before Windows? When Windows came on the scene, what did you have to do? Learn about Windows, because you were used to operating in DOS. That's the computer operating system. Somebody say amen. You have to learn a new system. You have to learn how to click the mouse and where the mouse was, whether it was going to happen when you click the mouse on certain things. You had to learn how to file and open Windows, et cetera, et cetera. It was a new system. You had to learn how to operate it. Amen. You're in a new system in the kingdom of God, so you got to learn how it operates. So you got to search out some things according to the scripture. You got to ask some questions. Sometimes I'm studying, man. I know I'm over my time, and I know y'all get a little upset when I get over my time, but I'll be done in a minute. Sometimes I'm studying, man. I got to stop and say, Lord, now what does this mean? I got the commentary. I looked at the commentary, but I still can't get it. Lord, give me a picture of what this looks like. And in a lot of instances, he will. Because he wants me to understand how systems operate.
If your left eye offend you, pluck it out. If your right hand offend you, cut it. Now, God ain't into mutilation, so I got to understand, what is he talking about? Because I ain't cutting off my hand because I know he don't want me to, amen. I ain't plucking out my eye because I need both of them to see you. Somebody say amen. So I need to understand what he's talking about. They said in times of old, you should not do this, but Jesus said, I say, I got to understand what he's talking about. When he's talking about all these different parables that represents the kingdom, how the kingdom operates in earth, I got to understand all that. If I'm going to operate according to the new system, I know I'm talking to the right house. You might not be listening. His system is diametrically opposed to the world system. That's why we have some problems in the church now. Because people want to bring the world system into the church house. And some other folks opposing that in the church house. Does that make sense to you? So since we're part of God's system, since we're part of the new system, we got to learn how the new system operates. So number one, the kingdom of God, what? Sovereign rule of God over something or what? Or someone. Number two, the kingdom of God is what? The sphere of God's influence in heaven and where? And number three, y'all wrote this down. Okay, go home and study. Amen. Because it's important that we understand the definitions, because the definitions are what we're going to see in the teaching. So if you didn't write it down, you can listen to the teaching again and get it in your spirit. Somebody say amen. Let me raise one question and I'll answer it next week. Why is it so important that the children of God understand the kingdom of God? Why? Somebody say why. It's important because Jesus preached it and taught it. He preached his first message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He preached it everywhere he went. The scripture, I'll show it to you next week. Every village he went in, he preached the kingdom of God. It's important that we understand what the kingdom of God looks like so that we can operate it in the earth realm. The kingdom of God has a lot to do with dominion. A lot of times we're not having success in certain areas of our lives because we don't know what success looks like according to God's word. You don't know how to apply the principles that bring success. One of the major things that operate in God's system, say God's system, is sowing and reaping. Somebody say sowing and reaping. It's so important until Paul says, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Somebody say amen. He turned it into a principle. Somebody say principle. We need to understand all that. Because what you might be getting back might be what you've been putting out. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to of the flesh reap corruption, decay. If you sow to the spirit, you're going to of the spirit reap what? Eternal life or God's way of living. Somebody say amen. So you got to know what you're sowing because you're going to get a return whether you look or not. If you drop some watermelon seeds in good ground by mistake, whether you knew you did it or not, you might come back and see a patch of watermelons at some point, amen, because the seed was sown. You need to know what seeds you're sowing, and you need to know what result to look for, amen. And it might not come back from the place where you're sowing it. It might come from somewhere else, but you need to know what you're putting out there. You might be catching hell because that's what you've been putting out. Nobody trusts you because you ain't trust nobody. Nobody won't help you because you didn't sow helping anybody. Folks have a hard time forgiving you because you have a hard time forgiving folks. That's what you're putting out. I'm preaching better than you are receiving. You ought to know what you're putting out. I wouldn't go start a garden, hoe out all those rows, and then throw out seeds that I didn't know what they were. Because I want to know what I'm going to get on my return, amen. You need to know what you're sowing. And you need to learn to sow what God wants you to sow so you can get his results. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. What you putting out? What you sowing? This from the Holy Ghost. Are you sowing where you want to go? Are you sowing into where you're going? You can reap where you want to go if you sow where you want to go. Oh my God. So this is going to be an interesting series. So next week, I'm going to tell you why, from the scriptures, why it's so important that we learn. The kingdom of God, how it operates, etc. If I can just take a minute and just throw this out parenthetically, it's a blessing operating in the kingdom and its principles. You got to get to the point where you understand that part of operating in the kingdom is allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you. And then you got to learn how he leads you. And then you got to learn to give in to his leading if you want the kingdom results that he's trying to get to you. This is going to be a serious series. You don't want to miss none of it. Let us pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, glory to God. We honor you so much for your word. We honor you for life in the word, glory to God. We honor you for good ground that's receiving the word. We honor you for the liberation that's going to come from the word being sown, the word being received, and the word being practiced. Lord, we honor you so much today. We trust you. We give you praise for all things. In Jesus' name, and all who agree with that prayer said, it's offering time. It's offering time. In just a few minutes, there's going to be some avenues on the screen that you can choose to give. If you haven't given, you've already given. Bless God for giving. Somebody say amen. Bless God for your gifts. Amen. Well, Pastor, you didn't open the doors of the church. You can give the disciples. Discipleship, I'm led by the Holy Ghost. Somebody say he's led by the Holy Ghost. And I'm submitted to his lead. Somebody say amen. If you're in the house today and you want to give by way of the receptacle, our ushers are on the floor right now. You have an envelope in your hand. You got money in your hand. Slip your hand up so they can know who to come to. We're not going to just pass it to anybody. Somebody say amen. Or just pass it just to be passed. They're going to come directly to you and serve you. Somebody say amen. While they're collecting the in-house tithes and offerings, I got a report that one of those avenues wasn't working properly. I think it's text to give. And I think we've worked on it. Has it been restored yet? Okay, choose any avenue except text to give because it's not working yet. It's not working. It's down for right now. Just like the computers go down, this technology sometimes go down. Amen. So we're working on getting it restored. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let me remind everybody that Bible study commences on this Wednesday night. That's the 10th of January, beginning at 6:45 p.m. We do Bible study by way of Zoom, by way of Facebook Live. The information is on the screen. I don't have to rehearse it. You can see it. Somebody say amen. And we've already given you an introduction to what we'll be sharing from our first set of teachings. We're going to talk about faith. Somebody say faith. Specifically, we're going to talk about sustaining faith. We're going to throw some other things in there as the Lord has given us license and liberty to do so, to share in building our faith. Somebody said building our faith. So you want to be in class for these teachings. Somebody say amen. I've already told you immediately after this service, we're going to set some elders in place. So we ask that you would indulge us so that we can get that done. Somebody say amen. All hearts satisfied in giving. Amen. There's one right there to my right. Amen. Amen. You need to get that $1 million seed. Amen. 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 Somebody say amen. He pointed it to you. Got it. Amen. Amen. So he received. Somebody say amen. We'll wait until he sowed that seed, and then we will. And then we're going to commence with the second half of our service. Somebody say amen. Won't take long. I don't believe in doing too many things too long. Too many things too long to me. That means I believe in doing some things long. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Let your imagination. Amen. Amen. I believe in having fun for a long time. Somebody say amen. Get your mind back here. Amen. Amen. That's why we lift the tithes and offerings up to you. First, we thank you for. And secondly, we ask you to bless them like you did two fish and the five loaves of bread, so there will be great resources in this house always to meet every need. The ones who sow tithes and offerings. First, we thank you for them. And we thank you that you will bless them according to their gifts in due season, or bless us according to our gifts in due season. In Jesus' name. And all in the cyber world, share with us today. Somebody say amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord sanctify you. The Lord give you peace. The Lord bless you.